listening to Insight on Capital Public Radio. I'm Beth Ruyak. The story of three Nisei sisters born on a farm in the Sacramento Delta traces Japanese-American history and will be told in a documentary premiering on KVIE Channel 6 this Wednesday. Airtime is 7 p.m. The project is titled The Ito Sisters, An American Story. And in the studio with me is the producer, Antonia Grace Glenn. Hi, Antonia. Glad to have you here.
Hi, Beth. Thank you so much for having me.
Tell me about these sisters. And they are all in their, 80s and 90s right now?
Actually, all three of the sisters have passed away. But the three sisters are my grandmother, Lillian, and her two sisters, Nancy and Hetty. And the project really grew out of a series of home movies that we filmed with the three sisters, where we interviewed them when they were in their 80s and 90s. And we originally just wanted to capture some of the familiar family tales. But when we got them together, they really started talking and sharing stories that they had not told us before, and sometimes that they had not even told each other. So the film really chronicles their memories of their parents. They tell the stories of their parents' immigration from Japan. Their father came over in 1897 at the age of 16 by himself and arrived in San Francisco and became a houseboy, a domestic worker. Worked his way up to owning a jewelry store in Chinatown and then lost everything in the San Francisco earthquake of 1906. Mm-hmm. And they tell the story of how he took what jewels he could and put them in a trunk and pushed it up the hills and down the hills of San Francisco until the fires caught up with him. And then he kind of had to take what he could on his person and run. And so he lost everything. And at that point, he moved to the country, to the town of Cortland in the Sacramento Delta, and became a farm worker and a sharecropper. And then he subsequently went back to Japan to find a wife, married my great-grandmother, and then they came over, and the three sisters recount how their parents spent 3 weeks on the ship in what was called Asiatic steerage, and my great-grandmother was 6 months pregnant at the time. So the first of the three sisters, Nancy, was conceived in Japan but born in the United States. So they share everything from their parents' immigration experience to life on the farm to attending segregated schools to having arranged marriages and then through their experience in the wartime concentration camps. So it's really chronicling sort of the first half of the 20th century through the memories of these three Japanese-American sisters. And it's set against the backdrop of the anti-Japanese movement at the time, which was a very powerful anti-immigrant movement from the 1880s through World War II and beyond. And that provides kind of the cultural and political and historical backdrop for my family story.
The era that they lived in alone would be so rich and colorful and heartbreaking at times. But you have home movies and old photographs and clippings, and we get voices, we get music. We do have a clip from the trailer, so let's listen to a little bit, and then we'll talk more about the way you tell the story.
Wonderful.
I mean, generally speaking, Japanese women immigrants didn't have the leisure to be housewives, that's for sure. And so provided a great deal of agricultural labor or, the small business sector, and were, I think, crucial to the success of their particular families.
What was the name of the school?
Cortland Oriental School.
In primary school, Japanese, Chinese, and Mexicans, and all those, and then the Caucasian were separated.
Yeah, at that time, I think all the girls my age were arranged by the go-betweens mostly. Everything was already arranged, I think. That's why I thought that I had to marry a guy anyway. So that's how it went those days.
They're so contemporary in their language, but it's fun how the three of them help each other fill in the gaps in their stories.
They do. They're very engaging and memorable characters, these three sisters. And they do. They finish each other's stories. They still evidence sibling rivalry after all of these years. Some of the anecdotes that they were referring to include the fact that, they attended this segregated school in Cortland. There were four towns in Sacramento County that established segregated schools for children of Chinese, Japanese, Indian, and Mongolian parentage. And so they went to what was called the Cortland Oriental School. But there was only one school bus in the town because it was a small town. So all of the children rode the same school bus, but it would stop in front of the white school. And the white children would go into the white school, and the Asian children would have to walk the rest of the way to their school. So, they share stories like that, which are, so particular to that time period, and that, you know, I think are very valuable to kind of know those sort of little details of what life was like in that community at that time.
You've used illustrations. There are some wonderful pictures, comic book style, and some are a bit animated, to help carry us along and know some of the history, which you'd think in this area a lot of the history would be known, but there are gems in here. There are pieces of stories that are not known, that aren't in a museum exhibit somewhere.
Absolutely, yeah. The idea of creating the illustrations came from my wonderful co-producer and editor, Greg Pacificar, because we realized that sort of watching the three sisters talk in their interviews that we needed a visual element for a film. And so he brought in this fantastic artist, Manny Falcon Padua, who created all of these illustrations for the film. They were inspired by my family photographs. We created a color scheme that was inspired by Japanese woodblock prints. And so for the memory pieces of the film, we use original illustrations. And we also brought on this fantastic composer, Dave Iwataki, who created the score. So we have the music that's all original to the storytelling as well.
You're listening to Antonia Glenn, the producer of the documentary The Ito Sisters, An American Story. It premieres on KVIE Channel 6 in Sacramento this Wednesday at 7 o'clock. It's a part of the Viewfinder documentary series, but it's been expanded to an hour, and it's already an award-winning film at the Berkeley Film Festival, both Audience Award and Documentary Award winner.
Yes, and we also received the Emerging Filmmaker Award at the Sacramento Japanese Film Festival, and we're going to be at the Boston Asian American Film Festival later this month, so that'll be our East Coast premiere. So we've had a series of really wonderful screening events around the state so far.
What have you heard from audiences, and what did you want people to take from the story?
We're hearing remarkable stories from people. We're hearing from camp survivors. We're hearing from people whose families were incarcerated in the camps, but they didn't necessarily know their family's stories. It was very common in Japanese American families not to talk about the camp experience because it was considered shameful. And there's a Japanese American concept called gaman, where you buck up and you sort of endure. And so I think a lot of the older members of the older generation didn't want to dwell on their camp experiences. And so I've heard from people. A woman came up to me and said, you know, my mother never told me about, doesn't want to talk about camp, never told me anything. So I came to see your film to learn about my mother. Mm. And a college student came up to me and said, my grandmother hasn't talked about her camp experience and she has Alzheimer's. Mm. So those stories now are gone. And so the fact that you have those stories in your film, you know, she started to cry, saying that it was, you know, so meaningful for her to hear those stories. And so that has been incredibly powerful and meaningful to us to have those community conversations. And additionally, I would like people to reflect on the contemporary parallels to the anti-Japanese movement from 100 years ago, that we're seeing the same rhetoric, that we're seeing the same wave of scapegoating of Latino immigrants, undocumented and Muslim immigrants, and that we're seeing family separations and we're seeing the incarceration of children in camps today. We have the current administration talking about establishing camps at locations close to where the Japanese American camps were. And so we're seeing that history really repeating itself. And the Japanese American community has been very vocal in saying, not again. And that when you start down this road of scapegoating and dehumanizing immigrant populations, that it can lead to massive civil rights violations. And we are seeing it happening again. So I'm hoping that my film can be part of the conversation around really reflecting on these anti-immigrant movements.
So the sisters knew, because you were interviewing them, that this project was going to happen. I assume that all three passed before they were able to see some version of the film. But just knowing that they were participating and that this would be a story that would be made into a concrete piece of the literary landscape out there, what was their reaction?
Well, they did see some early footage. And of course, they all had such different personalities. So Nancy, who was the oldest, you know, she was always considered the most beautiful. And they tell a lot of stories about how they, you know, how she had a lot of suitors who wanted to marry her, although she ended up having an arranged marriage that was not so successful. So she, you know, when she saw the footage, she was very pleased with it. And then my grandmother, Lillian, who was the middle of the three sisters. When she saw the footage, she thought it was embarrassing. And Hetty, who was the youngest, who described herself as being short, dark, and ugly as compared to her tall and pretty sisters, I think she would have been very pleased to have her stories memorialized. And for example, there was one story that she told that she had never even told her sisters, mm-hmm. which was when the three of them were sitting talking about Nancy's suitors. I think Hetty got a little jealous in that moment. And so she revealed that she had had a secret engagement during the war when the family was all in the camps. She was allowed to leave the camps to go to beauty school. And she had been corresponding with Japanese-American soldiers as a patriotic effort. And she had met a soldier, and they'd been corresponding, and he'd come to meet her, and he'd given her an engagement ring. And when she revealed this to her parents had intended to arrange a marriage for her with go-betweens. And so the go-betweens told a lie that Hetty's fiancé was seeing somebody else. And so Hetty's parents told her, break off the engagement and return the engagement mm-hmm. ring. So she put it in a matchbox and sent it off to him. Mm-hmm. And she told the story to us for the first time as part of these interviews. And you see the sisters sort of saying, well, that's too bad. And then Hetty says, well, he died early, so it's okay. And they have this moment where they all laugh because, you know, they think it's very funny. So it's a painful memory. But the way in which these sisters often share things is in this kind of cheerful manner. Yeah. And they laugh. But you sometimes have to read between the lines to kind of see some of the pain and the trauma that they endured throughout their lives.
There is a lot in this film. Thank you for bringing the documentary to us. Good luck with it. And I think there are a lot of ways into the story that's been told. A beautiful film.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. I'm very happy to be here, Beth. Thank you.
Thank you. That is Antonia Grace Glenn, the producer of the documentary The Ito Sisters, An American Story, Wednesday night at 7 on KVIE. There's a link, and you can see the trailer at capradio.org/insight. This is Insight on Cap Radio.